Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fellow Liberty lovers, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, which is so sad we missed March 4th and, you know, the directive to, you know, March 4th. Anyways, I digress. This is episode 32 of the Living with Freedom Show, and I am your host Amber S., bringing you a vision of what living a life of freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in every aspect of life. This show is brought to you by Living with Freedom Ministries, an unincorporated private church and ministry where I help people discover and fulfill their God-given purpose specifically through the creation of their own private ministry. Right now, I invite you to share the show with at least one friend because we're going to cover some really unique things today. Some different perspectives on some stuff. I'm also going to kind of give you an insider scoop on how I learn all the things I learn, how I function. Not quite a play-by-play on my day, but sort of. And the reason I'm going to share that, I'll you know, reveal a little bit later. But if you want to know how this freedom fighter does what she does, learns what she learned, so you too can start to function more like that, please stay tuned. And I also ask if you have ever benefited from anything from the Living with Freedom Show or any of the other Living with Freedom ministries, please consider a donation through PayPal using the Living with Freedom at protonmail.com email. I wish I could say how much your support helps us and helps me continue to fulfill this purpose and this mission. And we're going to have a little interruption from the fire truck going by here in a minute. Well, that's fun. It's been really, really dry here. And we're going to have some dogs barking too. Woohoo! Here in Wisconsin, Minnesota, it has been so incredibly dry. I have a friend who a wildland fire was within feet of her house and property. So it's real, you guys. You know, fire's enough. He's looking at me like, oh, I'm sorry, Mama. I was trying to be good. Normally my dogs are totally silent and sleep through the entire show, and obviously today they're not going to be like that. I might have to close the door and get the, yep, all right, give me one moment. We are going to, oh, let's go, thank you. All right. We are creative problem solvers here and do the best we can with what we have, and I appreciate your guys's patience through that little interruption. What I was saying is your support really helps keep this ministry's mission alive and helps us fulfill our purpose. All right, I'm going to jump right into today. I won't lie, putting together today's show was really unique. Normally, I have a very clear vision, a clear intention, and I thought I did as I was putting together the show, starting with the holiday of the day, and it just didn't feel right. It felt too much of a rant from my own personal opinion and nothing else. And even though I felt justified in being able to connect it to liberty and our rights and our freedoms, it really was nothing more than a rant. So I had to scrap it, start over. And then I kind of had some revelations, you could say. Not visions. And yeah. Just what on earth is going on? Anyways, so I started out picking National Sportsmanship Day as a holiday. And that's where my rant was going to go, because I don't like sports, like, at all. I think they're a major distraction from real life. Not that real life always has to be so serious and depressing. Oh, my goodness. Just when you think everything's going so smoothly with technology, then the dogs start. All right. I don't like sports. I think they're a major distraction from real life, which there's so much beauty and so much to still enjoy in life. I know our news and our media really wants to just make it seem like life is so depressing, like we need help, we're victims of our circumstances and all of this stuff. I digress. That was nothing more than a rant. Holiday that I did choose is National Absinthe Day. Yes, I'm talking about the green fairy liquid that used to be banned in America and then was legalized. A lot of controversy behind it, a lot of mysticism behind it. But today I'm not actually going to focus on this holiday as an effort to encourage anyone to drink absinthe or any alcohol. That's not to say I'm totally against either of them either. I'm just not going to be encouraging drinking as the focus of choosing absinthe as a holiday today. The reason I did choose it is to point out its unique history and also the liberty-based implications of what happened with it, especially regarding being banned and then legalized, and kind of the message of liberty that we can get from that. So first I'm going to talk about the product itself, absinthe. I was going to have a little transition point there. Anyways, that's where we wing it here. Absinthe, if you actually go back and look at its traditional creation or formation, I should say, it's a combination of wormwood, anise, or anise, depending how you pronounce it, and fennel. Those are the three main components in absinthe. And because of its supposed psychoactive symptoms, aka hallucinations, possible or potential seizures, it was banned from the U.S. in 1912, only to later then be legalized. Okay, so going back to its ingredients, if you break down wormwood, anise, and fennel, and if you know anything about natural medicine, you would know that all three of these actually have a lot of healing properties, and in some herbalist's opinion, should be in every herbalist's, you know, remedy cabinet. So then, and now I'll mention this a little bit later too, but what if we looked at absinthe not as just an alcoholic beverage to be enjoyed socially, but what if we actually looked at it like a tincture? A tincture is a formation or formulation of some sort of plant, typically, in most commonly an alcohol base for preservation, et cetera, et cetera. I'm probably butchering the, like, technical definition, but for lack of a better word, like, that's the basic concept of a tincture. I think sometimes it can be, they can have, like, oil as its base instead of alcohol. Anyways, just like many things that certain powerful families have had hands in at the time, medicine was also part of that list. Now, I don't want us to get censored. I'm not going to actually say the names of these families. I will say them in code. I'll kind of flip-flop them. The Fellers of Rocker. The Feller Rockers. and the Child Rocks. There's a few other family names, too, that have been very influential in our government, in our financial system, and in medicine. Unfortunately, a few of these families, they took over funding and regulating medical schools. They convinced medical schools to use their curriculum so they could get funding from them. But then they basically kicked out all the traditional healers. They didn't allow women as well as men and women of color to attend these medical schools. So they literally forced out traditional healers and traditional methods of healing and health and wellness and restoration for their propaganda, is really what it is, pill-pushing propaganda to victimize medicine. When I say victimize medicine, I mean the people wanting to restore their health have been turned into nothing more than victims of their circumstance, instead of empowered to, you know, correct imbalances, et cetera, root causes, to enjoy true restoration and healing. So prior to mainstream medical schools, medicine didn't used to be for the elite or at minimum for the wealthy and well-to-do. Everyone typically knew a lot, and honestly, your mom's spice cabinet used to also be her medicine cabinet, at least for the most part. So looking at absinthe as instead of just an alcoholic beverage, but more like a tincture, let's kind of dive down that rabbit hole a little bit. Because wormwood, anise, and fennel were primarily the ingredients, sometimes coriander and other botanicals, the compound sujone was commonly found in it, in absinthe, which functions like a stimulant and helps focus and alertness. And in reasonable quantities, you could see that perhaps things like this could be why we didn't see symptoms like ADHD sooner, because they were using nature to support their brain function. They discovered that it helped them with focus or with energy or with relaxation, etc., etc. They didn't need to go to a doctor to find that out. They used what God gave them through nature to take care of themselves. I know Ernest Hemingway is one of the names that is most popular on the list of famous people who enjoyed absinthe. And there are many others too, but maybe consider why those particular individuals may have chosen to consume it. Maybe it wasn't just to, you know, cover up pain like a lot of people do with alcohol today and you know, escape the world. Maybe it was to help close the world out so they could get back to their truth and their creativity, let their brain really explore what they were creating. Now, with anything, even water, it's obviously possible to overdose on anything, even nature. And doing so with sujone can lead to hallucinations and seizures. So, like I said before, like when reasonably used, for instance, maybe like a tincture, not as an alcoholic beverage. What I found, though, and I'll share my resource at the end of this part, what I found most interesting about the natural compound sujone as I was studying is that it also, in addition to its stimulating properties, also has relaxation properties. It tends to raise GABA levels, and long story short, helps reduce stress, calm the mind, and then helps people then sleep. And not only that, but it can also, because of that relaxing property, help relax uterine muscles. So ladies, it can actually help encourage your regular monthly cycle and keep it consistent. thought that was pretty fascinating, too. I don't know what research supports it. It might be cited on this website I'll share later, but actually, I'll share it right now so I don't forget. Everything except one thing that I will share where I get it. All the health benefits I get from this website called pangbenta.com. So it's P as in Peter, A-N-G, B as in Bob. I don't remember. B as in Bob, E-N-T-A.com, /drinks, /health-benefits-absent. If there's a request for the link, I can also put it in the show notes after. So going back, just that one component, Thujone, can both be a stimulant and a relaxant, both for the mind and for muscles. How cool is that? And that's one of the many beauties of natural medicine, is that it has its own checks and balances. So I'm going to digress and sidestep for a minute away from absinthe, and we're going to look at the natural pure essential oil that is wintergreen. Properly distilled wintergreen, I should add. This is an oil that those following the British school of aromatherapy don't really use at all. Often the British aromatherapy schools have a handful of oils that they consider just too dangerous for use. I follow more of the French model of aromatherapy, I believe. I know there's three main models. Maybe it's the German one. It's been so long, so I should have gone back and looked. Anyways, I know the British one tends to be the most restrictive. So anyways, back to wintergreen. Pure wintergreen essential oil has 90 to 98% methyl salicylate, which, while toxic in its synthetic version due to its structural formula, in its natural structural formula, and in partnership with the other trace compounds that make up the other 2 to 10%, it has very beneficial properties. So why do I bring up methyl salicylate? Its chemical structure is very, very close to acetylsalicylic acid chemical structure, which is basically your aspirin. And in fact, they're so close together, they're closer together than the aspirin compound is with willow and willow bark, which is also used for pain and you know, just relieving pain. Now, because I don't promote any particular brand of essential oils publicly, and because everything I share is through the free private membership of the Living with Freedom Church and Ministry, I'm happy to say that, yes, wintergreen can have a very similar pain-relieving benefit as aspirin without the risk of harm that comes with aspirin. And it's because of the checks and balances that these other compounds have. Methyl salicylate, along with the acetylsalicylic acid, both lower blood pressure. Now, if you took too much, especially if aspirin, you could lower it too much. It could thin out your blood too much. That would be really, really bad. Now, wintergreen has its own checks and balances. Some of those other trace compounds make it so that unless you seriously overdosed, which a lot of the research that is out there primarily studies overdose quantities, not reasonable quantities in proper dilution. But with a reasonable dosage, wintergreen, you can't really have it thin your blood too much or lower your blood pressure too much, because these other compounds send signals to your body and be like, oh, you've used enough of this, you're back to where you're supposed to be, let's stop, you know, using this, you're good to go. I'm oversimplifying it, but that's how nature is designed. Just like an apple, its DNA is programmed to grow its apple from its seed in a certain, you know, a certain way, with certain dimensions, with certain color, and that's what it's designed to do. It will never become an orange, for instance, or it will never, I don't know, trying to think of other examples, but an apple will never become an orange because of its nature. And I don't know if that's the best description, but wintergreen in its pure plant-based form, used the way it's supposed to be used, won't go too far, just like aspirin. Aspirin, it just does its thing. It doesn't have its own checks and balances. You have to be the one to monitor and cross your fingers so you didn't take too much and thin your blood too much, and have to, you know, deal with that kind of situation after the fact. Oh my goodness, these dogs. Give me one moment, you guys. I'm going to play an ad and go take care of that nonsense.
I'm Diana from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Russ and myself every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we deliver the truth about what's really going on in the world. You don't want to miss our show. See you then.
All right, we're back. And I think the dogs are quieting down now. I think they're just hearing all these different sounds now from the fire trucks going by. Then now they're just hyper-vigilant instead of resting. So turned on the TV for them to hopefully relax a little bit and should be good to go now. All right. I shared a lot about wintergreen, how it has really similar effects to aspirin, and yet it has its own mechanisms to not take it too far. Don't take my word for this. I studied this. One of my favorite resources is a book called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by Dr. David Stewart. He is a PhD. He's got other letters behind his name. He is well-versed in the science behind essential oils and these compounds. And I really admire his work. If you do want to chat about essential oils and natural wellness, I do offer to private members only doing consults. So if that's of interest, if you have a challenge that you're facing, or just simply some questions about natural health and wellness to support staying well, I'm happy to have a conversation. Email me at amber@livingwithfreedom.org with the subject line natural wellness help, and we can start that conversation. Now, back to absinthe. We just learned that thujone in it, which is a chemical compound, it has multiple benefits that seem contradictory, but actually show how it has its own checks and balances. Some of the other components within absinthe provide other benefits. For instance, because of the antioxidants and flavonoids in both the wormwood and fennel, absinthe can relax the arteries and veins and thus lower blood pressure. I believe the word they used was a vasorelaxant, which vascular system vaso makes sense. What I found the most interesting and unexpected thing about looking at absinthe as a healing, like tonic or tincture, is some people actually use absinthe topically on their skin. And then I started to realize, like, well, duh, anything can be used internally or topically. And because of the antioxidants and anti-inflammatory properties, it may also lower redness, irritation, puffiness. It could even heal wounds because it's also like antimicrobial, anti that kind of stuff. And if you don't know, all antioxidants do is undo the damage caused by oxidation or prevent more damage caused by oxidation. Just like if you have some metal and it gets exposed to water and air, it rests. Whereas if it's like well oiled, doesn't have damage, it doesn't get rusty. That protective barrier on metal is what antioxidants are to us. So like I said, if you want to learn more about the potential healing benefits of absinthe, definitely check out pangbenta.com/drinks/health-benefits-absinthe. So when we start to fast forward in time to when it was banned, I want to first search with you, because this is how I like to function. I like to look things up together as we explore. So when was the prohibition? That's something that I'm going to ask the interwebs. When was the prohibition, if my fingers work? I'm going to guess that, let's see. So the prohibition was actually after they banned absinthe, which tells me absinthe could have led to or been a contributing factor to prohibition. But the prohibition happened in the 20s to the mid-30s, 1920 to 1933 is what Wikipedia says. So if we know that too much absinthe was causing hallucinations and seizures, I can understand why they would have banned it, even though I don't agree with it. This is where we get talking about liberty now. If we truly go back to the original intent behind our founding fathers and framers regarding liberty, nothing in this country would be banned. Even, you know, what we consider illegal or illicit drugs, which, yes, kind of sucks because we want to protect our loved ones and ourselves from these harmful drugs. But our founding fathers knew better than we did, though. They knew that by banning something in one place, it would eventually mean, or give way to, I should say, give way to banning of other things. It sets precedent. So if you ban one thing, what's to say people who don't like marijuana, people who don't like some of these other treatments for the big C word, not the 2020 C word, the tumor type C word. There are natural treatments out there that exist that are not allowed in this country because of propaganda and big pharma and these elite family lobbying. But banning things like absinthe in 1912 led the way, paved the way for them to ban these other things too. It even paved the way for the prohibition. So we must realize what Christian Hall said, that we must fight for our enemies' rights just as vehemently and adamantly as we fight for our own rights. Because if our enemies have their rights taken, it's only a matter of time before the system turns around and comes for our rights too. Which is why, and I'm guilty of this too, you guys, when I was a baby, advocate and I don't like the word activist. It has so many negative connotations. When I was a baby advocate, though, for medical freedom, I admittedly was very much of the mindset, oh, 2A rights, those don't impact me. I don't have a 2A item or device. That's not my hill to die on. I'm not going to deal with that. Let the people who have those things deal with those, you know, infringements. Or, Oh, I'm not a mom. At the time, I wasn't. I'm not a mom. I don't really have a say, or I shouldn't have a say in right to life things. It's not my baby. It's not my body. I'm going to stay out of it. It's so easy to justify not stepping up when it doesn't impact us. And yet, if we continue to become complacent and not stepping up when it doesn't impact us, when it does come time to impact us, there will be nobody to stand with us. So if we want people to stand with us when it matters to us, we darn well better be certain that we are standing with others when it matters to them. And yes, you guys, especially as Christians and believers, it is hard to fight for the rights of someone we don't agree with philosophically and spiritually. It sucks. It's hard because we want them to see and know truth. So I'm not saying that you have to condone someone else's beliefs. But according to our laws and our Constitution, you better make sure they have the right to religion just as much as we do. And by being that good believer, that good friend, that good neighbor, who knows what seeds, spiritual seeds, you may plant in that person's life that could, in a year, in a week, in a day, in 10 years, could turn that person around and help them find God. But we darn well are not going to be converting anybody and bringing them to God, bringing them to Jesus, if we ostracize and if we are belittling and demeaning and putting down and all of these negative things. We cannot succeed in retaining and restoring our freedoms and liberties if we don't fight for everyone. So that's why I bring up absinthe and why I feel like National Absinthe Day actually is a Liberty Day, a Liberty holiday. So if you choose to partake, good for you. If you choose not to partake, good for you. I don't care. It's about liberty. Live and let live kind of thing. All right. We're going to transition here over to the word of the day. Now, this week, I've come to an interesting discovery. One of my mentors brought it to my attention that from what they have seen, especially the smaller local courts tend to prefer Bouvier's Law Dictionary over Black's Law Dictionary because they've seen that the federal government prefers Bouvier's. So at least for a few weeks, I'm going to trial run switching to Bouvier's Law Dictionary for our word of the day. See what I think of it. See if it feels like it's as encompassing. But we might be just switching to Bouvier's Law Dictionary instead of Black's Law Dictionary. The one that I use, I believe, is from like 1856. Not saying that's better or worse. It's just the first version that I found that was in a solid format that I liked. Anyways, I digress. The word of the day is abrogation. And actually, before we get into the word of the day, I'm noticing the time. The distractions with dogs kind of made me lose track. We're going to pause for a commercial. When we come back, we'll go over the word of the day, which is abrogation. And then we'll continue with segment two. So we'll see you in just a couple minutes and stay tuned.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Do you love the outdoors? Do you want to help make a difference for the planet? Then get involved in Collectively Rewilding. Collectively Rewilding is a movement to restore degraded ecosystems and reinvigorate sustainable traditions almost lost by working together. It's based on the idea that we can achieve more by working together than we can by working alone. Sharing the skill sets we have built over the years with each other and providing the community support we all need when there is so much work to be done in finding a sustainable future. To join our community here in Collectively Rewilding, go to www.collectivelyrewilding.com. Let's bring nature back into our lives in a community built for the wild in all of us.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific Time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Tantianism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalist, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative radio show here on freedomizerradio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
All right, we are back with segment two of the Living with Freedom show, and we are just getting into the word of the day, which is abrogation. And if you are just tuning in at the end of the last minute, I mentioned that I'm trial running using Bouvier's Law Dictionary instead of Black's Law Dictionary because I was informed that local governments may use this more often than Black's Law Dictionary for law definitions. So I'm going to try it out. The word of the day is abrogation, found at least in my edition, page 75 and 76. It says, in civil law, legislation. The destruction or annulling of a formal law by an act of the legislative power or by usage. A law may be abrogated or only derogated from. It is abrogated when it is totally annulled. It is derogated from when only a part is abrogated. Then they include a whole bunch of Latin phrases, like a lot. And then we'll jump down to definition two. It says abrogation is express or implied. It is express when it is literally pronounced by the new law, either in general terms, as when a final clause abrogates or repeals all laws contrary to the provisions of the new one, or in particular terms, as when it abrogates certain preceding laws which are named. Abrogation is implied when the new law contains provisions which are positively contrary to the former laws, without expressly abrogating such laws. For it is a, that's a big Latin term, we're going to skip that. Next part. It is also implied when the order of things for which law has been made no longer exists, and hence the motives which had caused its enactment have ceased to operate. I imagine an example of that would be laws pertaining to, you know, the Pony Express, maybe. That just is something that came to mind. The Pony Express doesn't really exist the way it did before. I mean, we've got the Postal Service now and the Post Office. So any laws that pertain to the Pony Express probably have been abrogated naturally and implied because of laws that pertain to the Post Office. All right. I kind of like that that way of having a definition. I like that this one is more sentence-based instead of just phrase, like phrasal with phrased definitions. So, and I also like that we can check out the Latin terms if we want. I noticed as I was finding a word of the day that it also really distinguishes if the word itself comes from like French or Latin. So, anyways, moving on from the word of the day, as I mentioned in the introduction, I am going to kind of shift how I do things. I want to give you guys a snapshot of how I have come to learn and know all the things that I know. I've been asked so many times in life, like literally my whole life that I can recall, how I know so much about so much. And honestly, it's a curse sometimes too, because I've also been called a know-it-all or been told to stop trying to help, even though I know how to help. So for now, for today's show, I'm going to ignore all of those naysayers and respond to the question of curiosity. How do I know all the things I know? Or how do I know so much about so much? So I'm giving you an insider's view of just what a snapshot, like the remainder of the show maybe, looks like in my daily life in terms of technology use when I'm not succumbing to the death scroll, a.k.a. mindlessly scrolling the reels. So in preparation for today's show, for instance, I saw a Facebook post asking about pros, cons, and scams regarding solar power. And then a mutual friend commented warning about EMFs and dirty electricity that can enter our house, even if it's our neighbor that has the solar power. That struck me as surprising and also interesting. and so I decided to read more of the comments. In doing so, I learned that especially the roof solar panels can cause mold issues. I also saw mention of these smart flowers, which is really just this large metal flower-shaped solar panel system that follows the sun and is very expensive but much more economical in terms of like the actual energy harvested. So, cue the smart flower website, right? Someone linked it, I clicked it. And that's how my rabbit trails go. When I'm learning about something or come across something, whatever it is, if it piques my interest somehow or piques something that I'm aware of and interested in, I go down a mini rabbit hole. So I clicked on the Smart Flowers website. And it turns out I have actually seen these smart flowers, rarely, but I have seen them before, in Minnesota and Wisconsin, which makes sense because we have such a short time frame through the year where solar is even ideal. So having this smart flower that can follow the sun gives you more sun time to utilize solar power. I could go into reading the website. Oh, they come in different colors. That's kind of fun to know. I also like the idea that if it's not attached to your house, maybe having it a little bit farther away can help reduce like the EMFs and stuff like that. And also because it's not attached to your house, you probably don't have to deal with the mold issues either. I just found that as I'm scrolling that the smart flower costs somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000 to install. That's definitely a hefty investment. And for those wanting to do more off-gridding stuff, it might be worth the investment. They look kind of cool. I think, you know, for something that's so much technology, such helpful technology, yes, solar power does have its negatives. For instance, those panels do have a life cycle. They're not indefinite. And so they're not recyclable. Sorry, I'm noticing that someone's pulled into our shop parking lot, which is weird because normally people don't pull in there. Anyways, if you didn't know that solar panels, one, have a lifespan, and two, aren't recyclable, you might want to do a little more research into solar power because it's not all that it's cracked up to be. Just like those big windmills, the material used to make them is also not recyclable. There's literal like windmill cemeteries or landfills filled with these components once they've reached the end of their life cycle or once they've been damaged. So something that seems to be very, very supportive for our, you know, energy and not being so consuming of these natural resources isn't really so helpful after all. Man, the dude got out of his car and now he's just wandering. It's really weird. I'm going to take a picture. So at least I have you guys with me in case stuff hits the fan. JK, if that happens, I will be immediately getting off of the show and probably calling for backup help. Which also means my dad's probably going to go crazy. I'm closing the curtain so he can't see that I'm here. I'm going to take it to a commercial and make sure that my living room door is locked. You guys, I like to be safe, okay? We like safety here. Safety is a good thing.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireta. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
All right, you guys, I am back. I have no idea what's going on or where this individual went, so I kind of feel like I'm a sitting duck, which is kind of scary, especially when we're talking about freedom and liberty, and we know that people have a tendency to get targeted for these rights and liberties. So, man, today is just a wonky day full of uncertainty and kind of sketchy stuff, to be perfectly honest. I don't love it. Anyways, we're going to do the best we can with what we have, and we'll just keep on keeping on. If I do, for some reason, like, mute myself unexpectedly, it's just because I'm seeking additional help and need to protect myself. I know I'm paranoid, but I've seen some crazy stuff go down. There's been 2 stabbings in the community in our county in a relatively short time. And I'm not going to screw with that. I have no patience for people doing sketchy stuff. All right. We were talking before this rude interruption of sketchiness about these smart flowers and their benefits, their negatives. Obviously, cost is, you know, a barrier of entry to using solar power, but also the fact that solar technology isn't recyclable, neither is wind technology, is a really big negative, So I absolutely think when you're doing research and studying up on things, considering if you're going to buy something or not, it's really vital that you double check that you have all of the information. Being an informed consumer is a very wise thing. All right, we're going to go back to social media, to Facebook, just so you can, again, see a glimpse of what it is that I do on a daily basis, what kind of content I come across, and how I use it. For instance, the next thing I come across, someone I like and follow just posted that they just picked up a grass-fed and grass-finished whole cow from their local farmer. I absolutely want to support that, because with the laboratory-grown meat products now, you cannot trust what you buy at Walmart or your local grocer. Unless you know your local grocer is getting all of its meat from a local, you know, meat processor. And even then, it just seems so sketchy. So getting your own cow from a, you know, a known and trusted source is awesome. Even bigger recommendation is see if there's a local private member association or ministry in your area that offers to members, you know, this healthy meat and raw dairy and things like that. Get out of the public domain system. Like, it's time to take back responsibility of vetting the people we buy from instead of relying on the government to supposedly do that vetting for us to make sure that people are being safe and clean with their choices. So I'm going to keep scrolling. Let's see. We'll skip that one. We'll also skip that because that's kind of a personal post. All right. In a private group that I'm in, someone's asking for products or things that they can help with hair growth. I could easily post on this because I've had to deal with my own hair health challenges too. And you guys have heard my story. If you've been a long-time listener, long time I say in jest because, you know, we haven't been on the air for a full year with the Living with Freedom show. But I have shared more than once on the show about my hair challenges. So something like this, I would use some information I have stored in, you know, the back pocket of my brain and share that I use Tall Hair from Tall Organics for hair health, and it significantly helped me restore hair health in terms of my scalp, in terms of length, in terms of just the hair health itself with thickness and volume, curliness, etc. And I most absolutely would share, you know, my referral information. The other day, I came across someone asking about homeopathy and what they think about it in terms of spirituality. And I do think it's really interesting because I do believe our intentions do have an impact on kind of the energy that's attached to things. I do believe that people can have, you know, negative spirits attached to them, or at least negative energies. Yes, I believe in God, and I do believe the parts in the Bible that Jesus casted out demons from people. I absolutely believe that, and I believe that people are still burdened with that yet today. And so do I think that kind of negative energy or negative spirits can attach to items too? You darn tootin'. I do think that's possible. Do I think we need to live in fear of those things? No, I think it's good to be conscious and discernment and attunement to the Holy Spirit to, you know, discern that. But it was an interesting discussion and also a really good question to ask myself of, again, who and where am I sourcing products from? Am I in alignment with their beliefs? It goes back to that call that we had with Sarah Poet about where we sit, we consent. If we're not in alignment with the philosophies, with the energy, with the attitude, whatever, of the people that we're around or are in partnership with, are we really consenting to something that we're not in alignment with by being present with them? Just a thought. Let's see. We'll skip that one. Someone else just asked on their personal page if they feel like their electric bill is bipolar and that this month is way more than December and yet it's warmer this month. Yeah. If anybody lives, especially in the Midwest, I don't know about other parts of the country because I don't live in other parts of the country. But here the weather has been incredibly bipolar where December, like she said, was completely out of character for our weather here in Wisconsin. And yet with the cold spell and the cold snap that we had in between, yeah, it caused our electric bill and our heat bill to maybe go up a little bit. But something that I would do with a post like this is it would force me to go check what the bill was. I might go to the Farmer's Almanac or the weather history and figure out, you know, track when exactly was that warm spell and that cold spell. And analyze, could I have done something differently to kind of counterbalance the shifts and the fluctuations in temperature to minimize, you know, the electric bill that was going to come because of it. All right, here's a funny post, you guys. Now, no, I don't really believe in aliens. I'm not offended if you do. I'm okay with it. It's just not my personal thing. But this one says, aliens are going to be super confused when they show up threatening to overthrow our leaders, and we're all stoked and offer to help. The original post was by this Allie Maynard, and someone just shared it. But some of these things I would maybe share with, you know, people I know. There's a homeschool post I could probably read and comment on. Not going to. All right, this post I would totally do something about. Here's how it works, you guys. Using content that seems like it's just for fun as inspiration to do something better with our lives. This one says, what luxuries are you after? And the other person in the picture says, slow mornings, minimized schedules, laughing, dancing, a cozy home, surrounded by nature and the ones I love. A post like this, I would save. I would be inspired enough to look in my planner and realize where in the day I slacked. And not necessarily was choosing rest, I was choosing laziness. Look at my schedule, see where I was choosing laziness, and use the Mel Robbins 3-2-1 go method and get up and just do something, even if it's folding a towel, putting it away where it goes, switching the toilet paper roll, whatever. But I would use something like this to make my later life easier because I did the action now. Part of like having this squirrely ADHD, CPSD brain is that executive function kind of sucks. So when we get into like information overload about so many things that we should do, our brain gets into the state of overwhelm and decides to not do any of it because it can't choose just one thing because they all seem important. And if we pick one, it's neglecting another. So something like this would inspire me to take action now so that my life later can be more like the slow mornings, minimize schedules thing. How are you choosing to use the content that you encounter for inspiration and motivation? It shouldn't just be something that we nod and agree with or giggle at because it's true and then keep scrolling. Use it as a wake-up call. Sometimes God puts things in our path as a wake-up call. If I weren't on the radio show, a post like this would literally make me turn my music on, and go clear my bathroom counter or wipe down the bathroom mirror, whatever. Like, I would do something with this. But that's how my brain works, is I've taught it, I've trained it to take action based on content as inspiration and motivation throughout my day. It's a conscious process, though, that is like strengthening a muscle. At first, it's hard. And I don't always do it even myself. But when you start to train yourself to use those things as wake-up calls, it definitely makes life easier to kind of snap back into your goals, snap back into taking action, or snap back into focusing on relaxation and not getting stressed out, whatever it is. Here's another post I would do something about. And by that, I mean, I'll share my reasoning after I share it. Someone shared a meme that says, our generation is becoming so busy trying to prove that women can do what men can do, that women are losing their uniqueness. Women weren't created to do everything a man can do. Women were created to do everything a man can't do. I used to be more of a feminist, you guys. I was raised that I can do anything you can do better, anything you can do, I can do better than you, you know, that song. The more that I have strived to be seen as like just one of the guys, the more miserable I've become. I knew I was not just one of the girls because I have never really cared much about makeup or fashion or style. And some of you guys who know me are nodding like, yeah, no, you don't, Amber. And it's okay. I love you still because I have a feeling that you probably don't either. But I don't get offended by that stuff. It's just not for me. As I've matured, I've come to realize that there is something that women have an inherent affinity to that men just don't. And it's not that they can't learn those things. Absolutely they can. Because I do believe that culturally we have trained men to be much more victimized in their ability to be nurturing and caring than they're capable of. Because I've met men, I know men that have that muscle worked out. Men that grew up in intact families, men that grew up in divorced families and grew up with their mom, like of all backgrounds, and yet they still exist, which shows me men are capable of more compassion. Women are capable of being stronger than some of us think we are. And it's okay to have complementary but different talents and skills and abilities. It's not a competition. We've made it so much of a competition that now we have people dressing up as the opposite to compete in sports designed for women. We've created this kind of an environment because it becomes such a competition. Instead of honoring the feminine, for so long we have tried to put femininity in a box, put that creative feminine energy in a box. And we've also put masculinity in its own box. They shouldn't be in boxes. They coexist and they're supposed to be in harmony. So something like this, I would probably share with my women's group that I'm a part of, that this has been a central theme of owning femininity while masculine in us as well as the masculine in men also heal, and just collectively all healing all around the board. What else? I should pause for another commercial break. During the commercial break, I'll find a couple more things that I would normally take strong action on to share with you guys so you can see the rabbit holes that my brain goes into. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Come check out the Proof Negative Radio Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Global government, the mystery school, Agenda 23, chemtrails and geoengineering, manufactured disasters.
We live in a time when awareness about current events and big media deception is critical to be prepared for the events that are rapidly descending upon us. This is Russ from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Diana and me every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. as we expose the truth big media keeps lying about.
Herbal medicine, the globalist real agenda, seen through the propaganda.
Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there.
All right, we're going to make that commercial break kind of short because I have had to pause a couple other times for commercial breaks. One thing I do want to share is one of the resources that I absolutely love. It's called How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer. When taking back your rights, please don't leave the biggest part in the hands of someone who isn't even going to fight for you and your rights. How to Win a Court Without a Lawyer does just that. Dr. Graves teaches you what he's learned over his many years as a lawyer so you can protect and defend your rights yourself. If you're interested in the course, please visit howtowinincourt.com /refer code = SH0024. And also, if you are interested in starting your own private ministry or private church, I am a PMA advisor. I help people get them set up, and I would be happy to help you get set up too. Let's have a conversation and explore and discover what your goals, your intentions, and your vision are. If you are interested, please visit go.livingwithfreedom.org/PMA. All right. I'm going to move my notes back over here. All right. I didn't find much more in terms of Facebook stuff. I mean, there's a lot, but mostly it's just scrolling. So what I am going to do is then switch over to my email. I have so many email newsletters, you guys, that I legitimately can never probably ever get through all of them. There's a lot of duplication. Yes, absolutely. But there's also a lot of really interesting stuff that I do a lot of stuff with. So what I like to do is first just start scrolling, getting rid of the junk. So I did Ancestry before I realized that they too sell to third parties your DNA data. But I also got to use the raw data from it and plug it in to check genetic mutations for health benefits. So I did it, but I don't need Ancestry anymore. So I'm going to close that, delete it. I get emails from America's Frontline. I get emails from, let's see, Andrew Pelequin, who has the Longevity Journal. And so like his most recent post, heart surgeon begs Americans, stop putting this in your coffee. Chances are, yeah, it's going to make you watch the video to understand the point. So I'm not going to click on that one because obviously we're in a show right now. I'm not going to watch a video. That's probably copyright issues. I'm not going to deal with that. There's a whole lot of stuff that I'm going to delete, but I also have an email from Health Freedom Summit. And it says, today's email is full of great events. See what free events just went live. All right. At the very top, what I love, and I would probably share, and I'm going to share with you guys, is they have a fake dictionary entry called pharmacide. And that it can be a noun or a verb, and its definition is death and injury by big pharma corruption. How cool is that? I love their boldness. It's so true. They too have stuff about heart disease and heart disease related death. So maybe there's more events going on related to this that I should be tuning into. So a lot of what I'm finding in this one, for instance, is events are links to videos, links to sign up for content. What I would be doing is scrolling and seeing, first of all, what aligns with my schedule, but also what stuff can I be learning to share with my PMA clients, my ministry clients that want to connect for health and wellness purposes, as well as what I might learn for the radio show. So for instance, that there's an event coming up that says, learn how to shift limiting beliefs, change old habits, and transform your life. That one's a Gaia event. Looks like it's it is a free online version. So it's an 11-day event. So an event like that, you guys, if you have not, if you are new to this freedom thing, if you are new to attending these online virtual summits, and you're just kind of dipping your toe in the water, how these online summits work is very often they will jam-pack a certain number of days with content. And so what you probably should do, unless you act like are retired or have time, is go through the calendar or the schedule each day or through the entire event if they have it posted, and pick and choose the most important topics for you and either tune in during that time or be sure to watch the recordings for those specific videos, because it's, unless you purchase it, it's virtually impossible to catch all of an entire free event, summit event, during its free period. It is possible. I have done it, but it is difficult. They're also talking about the docuseries called Cancer Secrets, and that you can watch the trailer. A decade ago, even 5 years ago, that's probably something I would have watched. These days, I have to be much more selective about the content that I consume. These days, I'm much more focused on genetic mutations. I'm much more focused on environmental and mental, emotional impacts on mental health, like ADHD or complex PTSD. So a lot of these events, yes, I normally would have attended, but I'm not going to this time. They also have a series about pharmacide, and it looks like episode one is called Post-COVID Disease Explosion. So something like that I might consider attending, because a lot of my community was very much awake to COVID or became awake to the scamdemic. And so something like that I would probably tend to see if I can find more truths about the scamdemic that I can tuck in my back pocket to whip out if someone is questioning. My intention is not to not convince, but like, my intention is not to coerce people into believing in freedom and liberties. My intention is to share enough information, true information, truth with a capital T, that I can share facts or share personal experiences and then leave it up to them what they're going to choose to do with that information. And I will be honest, the more that I've done that with love and prayer behind that intention, I have had more people wake up to these truths than I kind of ever have before. So there is truth to it. There is reality that when we come forward with love and compassion and meet people where they're at, they're going to be a lot more receptive than if we just blankly, you know, shut them down for having a different understanding or different belief. All right, back to kind of my process and how I scroll and learn things. I'm going to delete those. I see an email from ICANN Legal Update. It says ICANN obtains FDA report which shows shocking conditions at Moderna vaccine factory. Oh, my Lanta, this is one of those things where I absolutely would be reading. I absolutely would be tucking my back pocket and be like, huh, you took that. Did you know that an organization just found that conditions at their factory are, and then insert facts that I learned. This is how we do it, you guys, because people do it to us all the time when they watch the daily news. Oh, did you see, did you hear that salads are being recalled again for salmonella? Oh, did you hear that X drug from the 90s is being recalled because of its connection to cleft lip or cleft palate, hole in the heart, whatever? This is what word of mouth marketing is, you guys. When you say, did you know, or did you hear about, yeah, we can use it in a way of gossip, or we can use it as a way of educating and sharing important information. When it comes to being a truther and a liberty lover, we don't have to become like professionals. We don't have to become like professional researchers or scientists. You can be a layperson that is educated and conscious and aware of truth and reality. A lack of, you know, three letters behind your name does not mean you are not capable of learning how to read a research paper. And don't let any person in a white coat ever tell you that. Every one of us is capable of learning new things. You can, in fact, teach an old dog new tricks. If you don't believe me, check out that Caesar dude on YouTube, or the British woman from It's Me or the Dog. You can, yes, absolutely teach an old dog new tricks. All right, I'm not going to, because again, I don't want to deal with copyright, but I am going to read one quote that this report contains. It says the following disturbing observations. Quote, so this is a quote from the FDA report about the Moderna vaccine factory. It says expired materials were found utilized beyond their expiration date, and restricted materials were utilized in mRNA drug substance production. There are more than 2,000 expired items stored in your GMP warehouse and cold storage at time of inspection. These materials are currently stored at the same location with released or in-used materials. There was no clear demarcation between these items and the GMP warehouse and cold storage. Holy cannoli, you guys, they're using expired material when they're manufacturing these pokes. If you are someone who likes expiration dates, this should be really concerning for you. You could be putting potentially harmful, I mean, we know that the chemical cocktail that's in these things is already harmful. But when things expire, when things are past their prime, they can actually become harmful and toxic if it's the wrong thing. So knowing that they're using, or they even have potentially exposed expired material, that's like so bad, you guys, so bad. Let's see. I'm going to skip the rest for now. It doesn't seem as significant as that particular one was, but I love ICANN, you guys, ICANN. I know there's some discussion about potential PSYOPs or controlled opposition. You know what? I don't care, because Aaron Seery, legal counsel Aaron Seery, has done more for this freedom movement through ICANN than most of us can ever claim to fame for. The work that they do is helping us have ammunition and resources and power to be able to fight and defend for our medical rights in a way we really were struggling more a decade ago. So I'm so grateful. So something like this is something that I would absolutely be putting in my back pocket and, you know, putting a star by, bookmarking it, whatever. let's see. I also subscribe to Children's Health Defense. That this one says, NIH using taxpayer dollars to push HPV vaccine in South Africa, plus tribute to Norma Erickson, plus more. Here are some of the news headlines for today. Again, I'm not going to click on them for sake of time, but this is what I do, you guys. This is like the rabbit holes I go down. I will start to research things, and then I will download and save them into files. Once my hard drive gets too full, I'll use external hard drives, or I'll use something like Google Drive or Dropbox or whatever. to store elsewhere so I can make more space to download more stuff. Here's another headline. One study claims, I'm paraphrasing, one study claims that the COVID vaccine during pregnancy makes newborns healthier, but Harvard MD says not so fast. This is where you guys, it's so significant to wait for testing periods. And if the testing period is really, really short, one, that should be a red flag in and of itself. But wait a year or two or five or 10 for, what's it called? Market research, which is when consumer research, I don't remember. Now I'm mixing up things. But when consumers use a product and then you actually start to see over a period of time if it has additional risks that weren't notified in the trials. let's see. Ultra-processed food linked to early death, mental disorders, and more. That's one I would probably read. Your face for sale. Anyone can legally gather and market your facial data with explicit consent and more. All right, you guys. This is one that I would totally talk about on the radio show and what I would totally share with people, especially those loved ones that like to use all those social media filters. Whether, oh my goodness, hang on a second. Throat's getting dry. Here we go. I think it might be better now. If you've not seen people sharing these recent videos about how far AI technology has come, it is terrifying. It is truly terrifying how realistic AI has become. In just a short few months, AI has eliminated some of their issues with hands and arms and legs being like weird, disproportionate, having extra parts, whatever. And it has become so realistic. Even back in 2019, Chris Ann Hall was talking about how there's this video supposedly of, former President Trump saying something that he never actually said. And it looks pretty realistic. We need to question everything. And the best way to do that, you guys, and I'm going to leave it at this last note, this last message. If you ground yourself in truth with a capital T, truth with a capital T, that kind of truth includes the scriptures, your sacred texts. For many of us, it's the Bible. If you ground yourself in that truth and also the founders and framers' truth, our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, both state and federal, going back to Magna Carta, Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers, when we start to pour into ourselves truth with a capital T, and we start to create and cultivate this relationship with the divine in us, which means prayer plus meditation, because remember, praying is asking, meditation is listening. When we cultivate these things, we start to have the ability to hear discernment from our Creator out of what is truth and not truth. And even if something is truth, if it's meant for us or if it's not meant for us, because in this journey, in this battle that we are facing, that we are waging against the evil forces, not everything is going to be meant for everyone. I am not a person designed to be on the front line in actual warfare. I am not that kind of person. It's just not who I am. I am more of an educator. I'm a spiritual person. I pray and I do all of those things. So figure out your way of discernment and your entry into this battle, okay? And use discernment to discern truth. All right, I am going to pull up my closing notes. I'm about a minute over, or I will be. This has been episode 32 of the Living with Freedom Show. I'm your host, Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It was a little chaotic with a rain outside, with the dogs barking at the sirens. So I appreciate you staying tuned. It was a hot mess in terms of distractions on my end. Normally, it's not like that. Normally, if anything, technology is the issue. And today it wasn't. Technology was a beautiful thing. So I'm grateful for that. Next week, Brittany will return with the third of her three-part series on empowerment and self-care. Mark your calendars from March 12th for the third part. And remember to schedule this show in your calendar every Tuesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Central, noon to 1:30 Pacific. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week where we continue to explore what living a life of freedom looks like mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and in every aspect of life. Thank you for tuning in, you guys, and we'll catch you next time.